as with the last three instances of these town halls, is to answer questions about the fellowship group voting process and how to conduct an effective group conscience. I and Sue are the moderators. Mary Jo and Brad are your tech hosts. Marty is your point of safety this evening. And looks like timekeepers will include William and Mary Jo, I believe, or maybe William and Brad.
Yeah, William's the section time, and I
Yeah.
think Brad's the individual time.
Okay.
I
The
think Mary Jo
individual.
said she was doing it. Oh, it was
Okay.
Mary Jo this? Okay, my mistake. Mary Jo, you're the individual timer.
And the individual times will be shown on the screen so that folks will know when their time is running out. Make sure your Zoom chat name has your WSO. It says Zoom chat and I read it. I just mean the Zoom participant name has your WSO registration group number. If known, that's whether you're a local group, an intergroup, or a region. And if you don't know the number, please put the name of the group in and whether you're a delegate, if you are. Include your first name and probably in parentheses, best either your country, your state, or your province. And now we'll move to a, eventually, we're going to close off the chat function to make sure that if you want to post a chat, it will go only to the meeting managers and not disrupt other folks while the meeting is going on. And so at this point, Sue will walk us through a small celebration of the incredible engagement we've already had from ACA groups on this fellowship group vote.
Thank you, Cos. And Brad or Mary Jo, are you able to screen share the presentation? And I just put a few slides together. We're very inspired about the participation and the engagement of all of our meeting groups, intergroups, and regions. And we just want to say thank you. We're only halfway through, and it's truly remarkable what's happening right now. If we go to the second slide. Just to show you how we've been doing this, when we started in the month of October, we had 105 total groups participating in the voting. We're just looking at participation. We're not looking at all about results. And so for the 105 total groups immediately in the first month was impressive. And then we went to 233 total groups in November. And now, as of today, we have 334 total groups that have cast a vote. And we thank them all. And we're only halfway through. If we go to the next slide. In October, that breakdown of our groups, 99 of our meeting groups and 6 of our intergroups voted. In November, 224 meeting groups and 8 intergroups in one region. And now we have 321 meeting groups, 11 intergroups and 2 regions. So we're really breaking all of our records right now. If we go to the next slide, just want to let you know this is an issue for everyone around the world. And in October, we had 14 countries voting. November, it was 23. And then in December, right now, we have 28 countries voting in many different languages. Next slide. And just a small graph. I'm a visual person, so it kind of helps you to see the climb that we're doing. Next slide. And as I said, we're breaking all the records. This slide, the green is our historical, and the blue is where we're going above what we've ever done in the past. So our ballot voting, the highest in 2021 for the ballots was 280, and we've already surpassed that. In delegate voting, and when they're together at the ABC or CBM, The maximum has been 115 voting, and we've surpassed that. And then if we look at the worldwide online voting, we had about 87 is our max, and we've surpassed that. So we're breaking all the records right now, and that's our breaking the records, all of our fellowship together. Next slide. So wouldn't be amiss if we'd be amiss if we didn't mention the original name study survey highlights. And we were impressed and blown away. 11,000 individuals responded to those surveys in 67 countries. Very, very impressive. And so we're hoping to keep breaking those records as we move forward. Next slide. So we're only halfway through. Please continue encouraging your groups if they haven't voted. Please encourage all the groups that you're talking to and any of the individuals going to their groups. We need all voices and votes in this fellowship group voting, and as many as possible. And January 31st will be the last date that they can do so. And just to give you an idea, our current fellowship structure right now is that we have 200,557 registered groups in 70 countries. That's eligibility to vote here. 2,450 are the registered meeting groups, and 104 are the inner groups, and 3 are the regions. So it just gives you an idea of the volume. We still have some to go. Next slide. And I think, is that the final slide? Yeah, it is. So if you could stop screen sharing for a second, Brad, I just want us all to, oh, Brad wanted to say something before I do something. Go
Yeah,
ahead.
I just wanted to add on that the momentum is so good right now. We have 334 groups last night. When I checked, it's been 24 hours and we have 348 groups. So 14 groups voted in the last hour, and we're just so much
Wow.
stronger with the more voices.
Wow, thank you for that. So just keep encouraging all the groups to be voting, and including the inner groups. We have 104 and 11 have voted right now. That's okay. We're only halfway through. But if you're part of an inner group, if you know of inner groups, please encourage them to be voting. It's really important that we all have a voice and a vote in this. And just want to celebrate us, the World Fellowship, all coming together. Thank you so much. And I'm going to stop there and ask, are there any questions on that before we move forward to the next section? Or comment?
Yes, this is Bill V.
Yes, Bill.
Just to reiterate, you did say the last date, the actual date to vote is January 31st.
Yes.
So on that date, we can actually vote, correct?
You can vote now, today.
Well,
It closes
yes,
on January 31st.
okay.
So I think his concern is it midnight before the 31st or is it midnight after the 31st?
So let's Brad answer that question because this is a world fellowship and it's across all time zones. So Brad, do you want to clarify?
So Bill, I'll be very clear. You can vote all the way through January 31st up to midnight in your time zone, okay?
Thank you. My other question is, inner groups are actually allowed to have a vote just like a regular group?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you for both of those answers.
Yeah,
Excellent.
intergroup and regions, because they're all registered entities, I'll use that word, of WSO.
Wonderful. Thank you, Bill, for that great the questions. Anybody else have a question or a comment before we move on to the next section? All righty.
Okay, so
Going
on
to
the
turn it
next
over to you.
section is the fellowship group voting packet. So I am going to, this worked this morning. I'm going to try and do it again this evening and share my screen. Are people seeing the website, Adult Children of Alcoholics and Dysfunctional Families?
Yes.
Yes.
Excellent. So the first place to go to find this material is you'll click on the events text above, and that it's a menu bar, although it doesn't really look like it. And you go down to fellowship group voting, and then you'll see another one open up. That one you click on, it'll open to another window, and I'll just click to that. I already have it open. And right there at the top, there's some very simple. We thought we'd try and make the instructions a little more clear. What are the groups voting on? The name change. How long is the voting open? January 31st. So that's inclusive. Who is eligible? It just mentioned all registered entities, meetings, intergroups, and regions. What are you being asked to do? Hold a group conscience, primarily to determine what your group, how your group wants to vote, sorry. And then also to determine who from the group will actually be given the task of casting the vote on behalf of the group. Because one person needs to do that, and they'll be providing on that particular voting page their email address so that we can make sure that only those people are messing around with your vote who are supposed to be. Now, the other important thing is that your group has an opportunity to update or change your vote or any of the other information that we'll go over on that voting page up until the day of voting closing. You might change your mind for some reason. You might say, hey, we didn't comment before. Well, now we want to comment, or we don't like what we said. We want to revise it. Whatever you feel like, you can change it up through the end of the 31st of January. Now, how and when does my group get their voting link? All groups should be already getting an email with the voting link on it. But if your group doesn't have a registered contact name, or that person is no longer active in the group, or somehow it just hasn't gotten to the group, go to the emails with that stuff will be coming out at the beginning of each month. So there's this month has already gone out. There'll be one in January. But if you haven't gotten it, please go to the WSO website. Check your meeting listing and make sure that you have the correct registered individual's name and email address. And then I'm going to ask Brad to walk you through what it takes. It's a fairly simple process, but it is a process that you would need to update your information if it turns out it's not correct or it's not up to date. So, Brad, can you do that? Oops, you're on mute right at the moment.
Oops, sorry about that. I'll just share my page at the moment. So this happens where, and we have the questions right here for there. Kaz is going to go over what will be on the voting page, but how do I update my group contacts? It's definitely possible that your group contacts are out of date because we can only send the voting link to the group contacts. So you're a meeting, an IG, or a region. All right. So if I click on, let's just assume I'm in the meeting, I go to a meeting list. And I'm just going to take the first meeting that comes up here. Every group, intergroup, and region has an update this meeting button. What that is going to do, it is going to send a link to the existing contacts of that group. And the existing contacts of that group can click on that link in the email, and they can update the contacts. But let's say all your contacts are out of date, and there's none of the contacts are attending the meeting. You're still okay. We have a de dedicated team, which we call the meeting list maintenance team. It's a really dedicated group of volunteers. You can just email them, and if you forget the email, it's right here. on the website, on the page. So you can come back to that page. Now let's say you get your contacts updated, and let's say you do that tomorrow, and it's like December 8th, and the links or Monday rather is December 8th, and you want to get the voting link sooner than January 1st. That's not a problem. We have the link here again, and you're going to contact me, the IT manager. Just send me an email. When it's really important, when you contact either the meeting's email or mine, make sure you have your WSO number so we can look up and see what your meeting is, and we'll get a link out to you. I'm
And
going to send it back.
in the chat window is the address for getting help at meetings, acawso.org. And then below that is Sue has posted Brad's info for getting help in getting an emergency voting sheet. And Brad, I don't think your screen was showing, so.
Were people not seeing my screen?
Well, they were, but now we're not. So I think you
Oh
done
yeah,
your
I
part
was.
because then we'll go back to cause. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I did my part, and I'm just ha handing it back to you, cause I just was handing it back.
Thank you.
Super. Yeah, I guess it was just me. I wasn't seeing anything, and it doesn't matter. Okay. So now I hope folks are looking at this website page for adult children, and
Oh,
it
yeah.
has.
We're not seeing it yet, Cause, just so you know.
Oh, there's another button to click. It's not just one, it's two.
Okay, we see it now. You're good.
Gotcha. All right. So, down below on this page, there is much more detailed information. But one of those things you'll see right here, circling it with the arrow, is the sample voting packet. And so when you click on that link, you can see my arrow turn into a hand. You click on that link, and you'll get this page. Sample voting packet. Now, if you look at the bottom of the screen, you can see you will be able to download that document. It's just a few pages long, and there's a ton of white space. I won't talk about all of the stuff that's on the screen because you can read that there. The main thing, though, is here, a preview of the voting page. When you click on your private link for your registered entity, you'll get to a voting page. It's just a web page, and it'll look like this. There's the motion and the very simple three possible responses: yes, no, and abstain. The extra space on that page is please share with us why you voted the way you voted, your group. And if in your group's reaching a group conscience, there is a minority that wishes to state why it voted the way that it did, there's a space for you to enter that information as well. Because there's tons of reasons that you might vote yes, or you might vote no, and it's vitally important for us to know why. You might say, for instance, I liked everything except, and therefore we're abstaining, or I liked everything except, and therefore we're voting against. We need to know that. And I'll go down there. Again, I mentioned, and Brad mentioned, the emails that will go out and have been going out with your unique voting link. And this is what it looks like. It's a box, but it will have your group's number and your group's voting link. And you'll just be able to click on whatever that link is and go straight to casting the vote. Also in the packet is a checklist. It's just a Recommendation is not a requirement for things you must do, but it's things we suggest for helping to make a group conscience process effective and smooth, efficient in reaching the vote that you want to reach. However, they're just suggestions. And one of the suggestions is that you make a determination how you will vote. Will you vote using a simple majority, or will you vote using substantial unanimity, which is two-thirds? It's totally up to your group. There is no rule. But different groups have different traditions on how they normally do business. And then further procedural elements on this page. Be sure and actually have a discussion. And when you vote, be sure if it's not a unanimous opinion, invite minority opinions. Again, only those who voted in the minority can share. And this came up in the last meeting. How many people can do that? That's totally up to the group. If you want to hear everybody, your choice. In ACA's annual meeting, three people are allowed to speak. Other groups do two. It might be even one, but there is no rule. You make that choice. And it's best to make that choice up front so that people know what to expect. And generally, if any member wants to change their vote after they've heard the minority opinion, conduct a revote. Again, that's not a rule, but that is a general recommendation. And then the rest is just a place to write notes about all of that material. And then we'll go to this page a little bit later on. This is a skit that we did making a video to show, okay, so what is a group conscience meeting? How does that look? We tried to make it a little silly and a little fun, maybe overly formal, but it lays out the basic framework of a basic group conscience. Again, no rules. You decide what you want. And I will try and unshare.
Just before you unshare, Kaz, can you go back to where the FAQ is, the frequently asked questions, and maybe just show that? And I see, Brad, your hand's up. Can you just press on more FAQs? You see the red button above there? There you
Yeah,
go.
this one here. Yeah.
Yeah, we made it easy so that they could see it. And so, what is a group conscience and how does it work? What would happen if the motion to change the name passes? What's the impact? We're getting questions about the costs. And what would happen if the motion fails? So maybe just look at that for a moment. Brad, you've got your hand up. Is it about this or something else?
You're on mute.
You're muted, Brad.
This might be the first time that someone here maybe heard the term minority opinion. When you're done talking about the impact, Sue, do you think you might just define
Yeah.
what a minority opinion is?
Sure. Great question. So what would happen? What is the impact to the fellowship? If you could just pull that one back, because a lot of people are questioning that. And the name study did an estimate that we find is quite reasonable. However, what we're saying to you on the money that we would have to fund in order to do this through staff and vendors, we're going to do it gradually. If it is a yes vote, we don't know that, but if it's a yes vote, we're going to put a plan together like we always do from a publishing perspective. And it will be responsibly looked at from a budget perspective. And we'll be bringing it to the 2026 ABC for the delegates to see exactly what the plan is if the vote is yes. So I thought I would just pay attention to that. If you can go back to the FAQs for just a quick second. What would happen if the motion fails? So we're going to talk about it at the 2026 ABC, whether it passes or it fails. And the delegates are going to be very involved with next steps. And how is the fellowship group vote different from the ballot proposal? That's a question. We won't go into all of them right now. But what if my group doesn't agree with the proposed name? Go down below. Is there any other questions? Yeah. Don't we already have the proposed? So there's some questions there on the website, and the link is in the chat. Please don't hesitate to look at them if you haven't already. There's some really good information, but you can still ask us a question. We're going to be opening it up for questions, so we can answer that for you as well. I want to come back to Brad's wise question. Some may not understand what a minority opinion is. A minority opinion is if a group, the majority of the group decides to do something, in this case, a yes, and or it could be a no. There's some people in the group that may not agree with that vote. They're voting against it, but the majority, whatever agreement they have, simple majority or significant 66 and two-thirds, whatever that is, there might be some folks that are not in agreement with it. That's what you call a minority opinion. And what we do is recommended, and we do this at the ABCs, is that those that voted against whatever the agreement was, they can speak as to why they thought it should be a no, not a yes, whatever that is. And William, it's time. Okay. So I'm just going to finish with that. It's the folks that don't agree with the majority. It's not 100% unanimous. And it can be one minority opinion, two or three. The group decides on that. And then the group then is asked, do you want the people who voted for it, do you want to change your vote now based on what you heard from a minority opinion? And it's interesting because sometimes the group will say, yes, we do want to revote based on what we just heard. And sometimes they will say, no, we considered that, but we thank you for your voice, but we're going to stay with the original vote. And I hope that is clear enough. And thank you, William, for letting us know our time. So let's stop screen sharing, Cos, and let's open it up for questions. Please raise your hand. And we've got
I tried to stop it. If it hasn't stopped, then Brad, please help me out there. I don't see a stop.
I got you. I already closed it. Good.
Okay, Cos and Brad, thank you. So questions, 1 minute. An additional 30 seconds if there's some language difficulties, and same with an answer. And Mary Jo's going to be timing us on the individual timing. It's not meant to cut anybody off. It's just meant for as many voices to be heard. So if we have more time, we can talk more. So who would like to raise their hands? And don't be shy. And the floor is now yours. This is your time. We want to hear your voices. And it could be a question or a comment.
There's a hand, Adam.
Yeah, hello again. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Fine. Hi again. I'm Adam, grateful recovering adult child. I know that this was just covered a little bit, but I'm partly here because the group that I participate in, we did try to have a vote at our last business meeting, and I ended up being one of the only people to disagree, mainly out of ambivalence. But so I guess the reason I'm coming here is to try to become better educated about this whole issue. And first of all, thank you to everyone who's been participating in this and facilitating this, and all of you who are running these town halls and everything. I'm very grateful for, you know, all of the time and resources that are being donated. So I guess my question, and again, I understand that this is somewhat represented on the page, but I still don't feel like I really understand it, is what is really the effective impact of this change? Like all of the ACM materials that I, like, personally, I relate more to the dysfunctional families part than the children of alcoholics part. Like, and as I have been in this work and gone through it and spend more time learning, I have discovered there actually is like the more classical addiction in my family that was I was not aware of. But so as not to waste time and digress too much, I struggle to contain my thoughts sometimes. Anyway, the point is that I have personally faced issue of do I belong because I'm not a child of an alcoholic, and I've been through those discussions with other people and with myself, and But part of what helped me to feel that I do have a home here is that every ACA meeting I have participated in and all of the literature that I own from ACA all states clearly dysfunctional families. Like, so that inclusivity has always been manifest to me. So I guess to return to my question, what really is fundamentally changing? Because I'll and I realize that my experience is limited. It's only my experience, but all of my experience, it's already apparent that it's open to dysfunctional families. And so I suppose part of my thinking is if the organization is going to donate or, you know, invest this amount of money in that. And within our group, part of the discussion was, you know, to make sure that it gets to the people that that would benefit from it reaching. So I suppose partly I'm thinking, well, if that's the intent or if that's the need, is this the best way to invest that money? That's maybe a different question. So maybe just to like contain my thinking, my primary question is just like, what fundamentally does this actually change?
Okay.
Well, let me start out in general and let Sue get into some of the details. I will admit that it wasn't always clear to me exactly what will be changed, but I will say state this. With regard to who is this for, there are a number of people who believed that it was unclear whether dysfunctional families was really finding the defining thing for getting in. And so the intent is to make it more clear for those. Now, what the specific changes are, I'm going to turn that over to Sue because she has a good idea of what those are going to be.
Yeah, thank you. And it's a question on everyone's mind, right? I'm also the chair of the publishing committee, so I'm very involved with all of this. So I would say to you, the first thing that if it was a yes, the first thing we would do is trademark Adult Children of Alcoholics and Dysfunctional Families. Okay, that's the first thing. The second thing we would look at is a project planning on the literature. That we would have to be looking at uniformly, consistently making it. We already have adult children, as you said, of alcoholics and dysfunctional families, but we have a diagonal, we have an ampersand, those kinds of things. And we can easily take a look at that in our publishing as we're going through it. There might be some complications, extra money to do indexing on in the BRB, et cetera, but we can do that. The ACAD. Is going to change because that's in the motion from ACA to ACAD. And so that's another change that we would do in our literature. And it could take anywhere, you know, up to 5 years, maybe even 10 years. We need to take our time and do it responsibly. The website will be changed as well, like just to make it uniform with the motion. But I think that's mainly its literature and website and the trademark. That we're going to have to look at. The motion did not ask for any legal changes because that would be horrendously expensive. And it didn't ask for a logo change, which would have added more money to this. So the logo change itself isn't going to happen, and it's been around for a long, long time as well. And so but that could be a future thing that the fellowship wants to do is change the logo in future years, but that's not what's happening this time. And that keeps the costs more manageable. I hope that's been helpful. If you want to know more about the publishing side of the house with literature, don't hesitate to come to the publishing committee. Mary Jo could post the calendar invite where all of our committees are, and you can come in and you can see all of the work that's going on. I should mention one more thing that has to happen. We tend to think about just English literature. We actually have over 38 languages right now, and we have several BRBs that have been translated over the years. So when we change the literature, we will be changing the translated literature as well. So that will all be part of the project planning and will be responsibly done. Brad, did you want to add to that?
Sure. I wanted to add that When the first name study survey was done, 24, 23.5% of the respondents said they delayed entry into the program because of they did not have alcoholism in their home. And so the whole idea of the name study was, could we do something with the name to prevent people from disqualifying themselves? So the idea of the name study was that people, before they go to the website, before they go to the literature, they hear about it from a person, adult children of alcoholics. And if it can get changed in the literature and in the functional use of the name, and if people start using adult children of alcoholics and dysfunctional families, ACAD, that when people hear it, they will take the next step of going to the website, maybe coming to a meeting and realize that they're welcome. That's the idea behind it. I just wanted to share that with you.
Thank you, Brad. And thank you
Alexa.
for the question. And over to you, Kaz. I think you were calling on
Yeah,
Alexis.
I think I called out Alexis if
Oh,
they're
okay. Great.
available.
I just wanted to make sure everyone was done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I said this in the morning and I'll say it again. I think for me, like the group conscience aspect of that, like this, the fellowship is taking a group conscience to take to change its name and say that it is adult children of alcoholics and dysfunctional families is so important for the traditions. That you know, we make decisions for the fellowship through group conscience, the conference being the biggest group conscience. So like this whole input process, you know, if you're going back to your groups and they're asking, well, why do we have to do this? What's the point? Why does it cost money? It already says it on the cover. I think being able to say this is how we make decisions in 12-step programs, like from AA on, is through the traditions, through the service concepts. And so this is why this process is important, why it's taking so long, why it's important that everybody has a say, so that everybody has a say. So yeah, we talked about that in the morning too, and I think it is a helpful thing to be able to say to people, it's not just dysfunctional families for me too. The fellowship says so as well. The fellowship has acknowledged it. And I also mentioned that to me, there's a D around it, which I think is a cute way to think of it too. Cheers.
Thank you, Alexis. And yes, so important that all of our groups have a voice and a vote. This discussion is so important. So thank you. Are there any, we still have time in this section. Are there any other questions, or comments?
Yes, Twain.
Hi, my name is Tuwane and I'm a group member. And I, since entering the program, have always called it Adult Children of Alcoholics and Dysfunction. It's always been that. And so for me, I don't see why we have to change it because I've already used that. You already spoke about, and it's listed, what will the impact be if we should change? I'm curious. What are the benefits for changing? And I know you've already spoken to, you know, people coming just from dysfunctional families being impacted, but are there any other benefits?
And Brad, do you want to take that from an because you talked to 11,000 folks about all of this?
Right. And I would say, 20, hopefully I got your name right this time, is it's wonderful to hear that you're talking about it in the terms that work for you, adult children of alcoholics and dysfunctional families. However, the data and the responses show not everybody talks like that because the program is adult children of alcoholics. And the concern is that the adult child, as many of us know, are rigid, judgmental on themselves, black and white thinkers. And that sort of right and wrong thinking can get the idea of adult child of an alcoholic. I am not an adult child of alcoholic, so I am not welcome. And many of us, and I will speak to myself, are incredibly grateful for this program, that it allows us to not continually li live out the laundry list traits. And so the idea is that if it really gets in the vernacular and more people know that they're welcome here, that they can have the chance to work their recovery too, and not just disqualify themselves unnecessarily. And that's the hope.
Thank you, Brad. And thank
Is
you,
there
Tony.
another question? Yes, Jean-Luc.
Hi, everybody. Jean-Luc here, ACA. One of the questions that came up at a recent group conscience in my meeting was that if this name change vote is not accepted, will there be another proposal for a different name? Some people were starting to suggest new names for the program, just of this idea that we would possibly change. I was trying to suggest that no, we're just voting on this name change, not on changing the name in general, and that we weren't looking for other name suggestions. Is this something that you think might happen in the future if this name change isn't proposed? Thank you.
Just about anything that the conference decides can be talked about. And if they reach a similar conclusion to what they did here, it will go to a similar process. There's no exclusion on that, and nor is there a particular time frame.
Thank you.
Jason.
Hi, excuse my voice. I did read the FAT FAQ, but could you speak on more about the Adult Children Anonymous option that was rejected, and why we couldn't use that with dysfunctional families and alcoholics or something?
I think
Sure,
I
I
understand.
can speak to that.
Brad
Thank you.
is. Brad has a closer understanding.
Sure. The Adult Children Anonymous name was considered every time anybody brought it up at the name study, and I don't have the exact number of times, but it was a lot. It was 4 or 5 times, and the idea of that was and the what was the study was directed by the conference to look at a name that communicated inclusion to those with all dysfunctional families, with all kinds of dysfunction. And the idea that came across again and again and again is that Adult Children Anonymous communicated 12-step program, but it communicated even less about what the fellowship was about. The idea was, can the adult child know what the program is about if they only hear the name? They don't go to the website, they don't go to a meeting, they don't have a piece of literature. So the going, and it was talked about a lot that they didn't want it to be the Art Anonymous type of name where people don't know what Art Anonymous does. You may be sitting here thinking about what does Art Anonymous do? And it is a fellowship for people that are starving artists that go so far on their art that they're really sacrificing their lives and their health. But in order to know what Art Anonymous is about, someone like me has to tell you, or you have to go to the website, or you have to go to the book. So that was the thinking of the committee. You may or may not agree with it, but we followed the traditions and we discussed it every time that someone came up. And there was a variety of people all over the world that came to the name study. And that's what we did the very best we could. And that's why it wasn't included.
Thank you, Brad. And I think the
Thank
important
you.
point here is the conference, the name study went to the conference and updated them throughout this process. It was quite long. And then ultimately, the conference of the delegates approved this motion. But they wanted this motion to change to adult children of alcoholics and dysfunctional families. They wanted it to go to the fellowship. not just the delegates that were there. And that's why we're going through this process. So let's see what the fellowship, the World Fellowship, decides, because none of us will know until February. So thank you for all the work that's been going on, Brad and your team over the years. And thank you, everyone, for going through this today, and making these, having this important discussion and having these important votes. Marty, did you want to add
I
something?
just wanted to add too that when that survey was sent out, when it all came back, Adult Children Anonymous showed up way down on the list. I think, Brad, I think it was like 2% out of all the responses of the 11,000. And so that's why it went with including the dysfunctional families. So I just wanted to add that.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, we will collect what the votes are. We wanted to really know, as Cos said earlier, what why our groups voted the way they did. We will have both the number of votes as well as the reasons. And I think that will be very rich for the fellowship and very rich for the 2026 AVC. And I'll be talking about next steps in a moment. We're done with this time. Are we complete, Cos? And then we can bring up the agenda for a quick second, Brad.
Sue, if I could just
Yeah.
say one
Oh,
quick thing.
sure.
The name that is went to the conference and the name that's going to the fellowship was the top choice that was on this on the survey by the so many people. It wasn't chosen by one person on the committee or people on the board or even the delegates. It was from all those responses that this was the top response. So that's why it went forward.
Thank
And
you.
I would just kind of point out this was a long process,
Yeah.
a number of years.
Yeah, it was 2 years.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Can Cos, are you okay if we bring up the agenda just for everyone to ground
Absolutely.
themselves,
Yes.
know where we
See
are?
any other hands? So let's bring up the agenda.
Yeah, so the next section, and for our section timer, it'll be 10 minutes. And we're going to go through next steps, and I'll do that in a moment. And then after we do the next steps, we'll have another 10 minutes for questions on the next steps. And then we will have a conclusion and thank you after that. And then those of you that have not seen the group conscience video, it's quite good and funny. And Mary Jo, who's here, was one of the major screenwriters, and Marty, who's here, was one of the actors. And we do it with avatars or that are on the Zoom. And we encourage you to stay on to listen, but you don't have to, because we want to be respectful of the time. We usually go to 90 minutes, so we still have 35 more left. So if we can stop screen sharing on next steps, I want to lead us through that. So, what's the next step after today? Well, after today, we want you to hopefully all go back to your groups if you haven't voted, and encourage your groups to start that process of discussion and voting, and also to anyone that you're talking to, get the word out, right? We're a world fellowship. We're all connected. So, talk to everyone. It is really important that we all have a voice and a vote. And so please encourage all of those that you know. Word of mouth means a lot. The next step, after we do that, as we've said, we will vote until January 31st, midnight in the Eastern, well, midnight, whatever your time zone is. Correct, Brad? So you don't have to figure it out. Midnight, whatever your time zone is. Don't worry about anybody else's time zone. And once that's done, we have partnered with data analysis because we really want to make sure the data analysis committee has, and they've been involved in looking at what we're going to be doing with the votes, because we want to make sure we summarize it correctly. We want to make sure the qualitative information is summarized as well. So it's going to take us a couple of weeks to do that. So we hope for your patience, but somewhere around mid-February, February 14th, maybe, we should have it ready to be posted for the fellowship, and we will let you know what the results are. After that, we will be also during that period of time, I should say, we think this is the first time we've done something this significant. And as you can see from the numbers, we're breaking all the records and having everyone participate. We really want to hear from everyone about this process. What did you like that you would like us to do again if we're doing this? What would you like to change? And so we're going to be sending out a survey to all of our groups after February 1st. And we're just going to ask you to give us some feedback on the process so that we can keep on doing things even better the next time around. And when we have the results posted and we have the survey results, and we're also going to be working with publishing and our general manager on a plan. If it is a yes, we'll look at a plan and we'll be bringing that plan forward to the 2026 ABC, which I believe is on May 16th and 17th. And we would encourage you all to come. As delegates, you can come, get them all registered. It's usually 6 weeks ahead, so somewhere around early April, mid-April, you'll be able to register for the annual business conference. And we really encourage you to come. And we also have a registration for observers. If you've got a lot of people who want to come from your group, perhaps, we also have a registration for people who would just like to observe the annual business conference. We're hoping that many, many people will be coming out. And I just want to again say thank you to all of you for today coming in and for all of our groups hearing the call and coming together and having these important discussions. It's been so inspiring. And I want to personally thank all of the people behind the scenes who are giving free hours of service to make all of this possible. And for our staff that are getting all of the technical systems in place that we need, thank you. So I'd like to open it for questions and or comments. Back to you, Cos.
Sure. Adam.
Hi, thank you, sir, everyone, for their service. I was a bit late with the meeting. I didn't have all the right digits, but in terms of I know we're taking it to our groups to have them vote on it and then collecting the whys, the qualitative data. Is there a that I can see becoming quite a thing, even just to collect the data, says, some of the recording secretary. Is there a format or is there something that you're suggesting we use to collect that type of data? Because it could be, it can get hairy, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to call upon our IT manager who put the system together. And did you have a comment on that, Brad?
Sure. What I would recommend is when you're doing your group conscience and just have someone take notes and think about summarizing it up, and don't worry about doing it just right. There's a text box with a thousand characters in there, and just summarize it the best you can, and that's good enough. There's also a box right underneath it that involves a minority opinion. You have a couple folks that didn't agree. They can give you their phrasing, or the secretary of that meeting can write it down, and they can include that there. Anything qualitative that you include, we appreciate it. And if your group votes that that's private, that's totally fine too. Those other two boxes are completely optional.
Thank you, Brad. And I also have we also have the pleasure of having the chair of our data analysis committee, and that is Brian. And Brian, would you have any words of wisdom?
Well, thanks, Sue. Not offhand. I think I've been part of the process in talking to Brad for like over 2 years. For our view, we're kind of neutral about one way or the other. And when we go through the data and stuff, we'll try to keep a fairly neutral tone for it. I think some part of it is that a lot there's a lot of emotions around this. So I think when we code, we'd like to look at the emotions to see what kind of works out and what's being expressed with this and such. So thank you for asking.
Thank you for helping and supporting.
Thank you.
Bill.
Bill V.
Yes, sir.
I guess that's me. So this is basically a comment, a technical problem comment. When I got on tonight, I used the flyer that I downloaded from WSO, and it's a colorful flyer talking about the top part of the flyer is the history of the name, the evolution of the name, and the bottom had the town hall dates, October, December, and January at the bottom with a Zoom ID and a password that didn't work. So I didn't know what to do. And then I just thought, well, maybe it's correct on WSO. And I went back to WSO. So I just wanted to bring, and then it worked, obviously, here I am. So I just wanted to bring that to someone's attention. I don't know if I downloaded an old flyer or that's all I have.
Yeah, thank you,
yeah,
Bill.
Thank
we
you.
Po we apologize. We had some Zoom difficulties with this, so we only heard about it when we started in the morning session. So we quickly, our team quickly got it corrected on the website, the calendar, and we sent an email out to all of the groups. So it shouldn't happen again, and we apologize for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we're glad you got in.
Yeah, and thanks for bringing it to our attention. Any other questions? I don't see any at this time.
Alrighty, so let's go and bring up the agenda again, Brad, and we'll be going into closing and final remarks, and we will then be going into the group conscience video and playing it. So get your popcorn out. And Brad is prepared to do a breakout room for anyone who needs additional IT assistance. So please chat with him directly, Brad L., IT manager, and he will put you in a breakout room when we start listening to our video for those of you that would like to stay on. Back to you.
Reminder that the video is on the website already. So if you don't have time now, you can always come back to it. Same thing for the audio of this meeting. It will be posted. And so if other people want to hear the audio of any of the town halls, that'll also be available.
Thank you, Cos. And just one more thing about the video, if you do go, it's on YouTube as well. We have a YouTube channel that we're building with ACAWSO, and it's on there. And one of the most important reasons we did it was because we could have a translated caption on it so that that folks could be listening to it, but they could see in their own language the caption on what's being said. So thank you for letting me share that. I'm back to you, Cos.
Thank you. And okay, on the closing, the next town halls will be on January 17. We also have a board meeting with the fellowship coming up on December the 13th. Where you can ask the board any questions that you would like answered. And the next conference business meeting will be January 31st, coincidentally. And the next ABC or annual business conference is on May the 16th and 17th. And again, seventh tradition, always necessary. Literature doesn't support us 100%. And I'd like to ask for a volunteer to give us a closing serenity prayer of your choice, language of choice, higher power of your choice.
We can do that.
Before we do that, Kaz, could I just say a comment?
I'd sure.
In case you don't know, the board meeting with the fellowship, you don't have to be a delegate to come to that. You can just be an ACA member. That's totally fine. The CBM at G on, Jan on January 31st. That's the one for delegates. Also on the tech breakout room, that's if you have a question that you weren't comfortable talking about the tech, in here in front of the group, I'm happy to talk with you privately. We very much don't want any tech to interfere with anybody's ability to participate. And I promise you, I'm very gentle with it with everybody talking tech. Just let just send me a private message in the Zoom, and we'll go figure everything out.
Yeah, especially with updating your group contact info. That's probably the biggest hiccup, but it really is only a speed bump. It's not a big deal. So I'll re-ask anyone who would like to take us out with a serenity prayer, please. Feel free to do that. William.
A moment of silence for those inside and outside the room still suffering. And Gus, grant me the serenity to accept the people I cannot change, the courage to change the one I can, and the wisdom to know that one is me. Grant me patience with the changes that take time.
And acceptance for
And
the change
acceptance for
that appreciation for all that I have.
all that I have. A
And
tolerance and
acceptance.
acceptance for those with different struggles, and the strength to get up and try again one day at a time.